Hello, everybody. It's Bree Bagwell with your OnlyFans Breecap. Isaac Jacob is just the coolest dude, and he joins me on the podcast today. He is a salt-of-the-earth human, and him and his wife and my friend, Megan, have baby number two due this September. Congrats, guys. 1,000 Miles was the song that I remember really catching my attention a long time ago at a late-night jam, and Isaac now has a brand-new full-length album out. We talk a lot about the album. Shout out to Yellow Dog for the amazing production of that album. It's called The Brush Country Tapes, and it's available everywhere you stream, and Isaac says on the podcast that you can personally hit him up if you want one of these really rad-looking vinyls. What a nice guy, and that's a great way to support him, especially while he grows his very cute family. Head to isaacjacobband.com for all of the upcoming tour dates, including one at Green Hall this November. Thank you so much, Isaac, and y'all enjoy. Hey, this is Bree Bagwell, and if you want to sponsor this amazing podcast, all you have to do is email onlyvanspodcast@gmail.com.
But yeah, he put a sign that said free tamales on my merch table, and we didn't have any tamales, but we got people to come to the merch.
Oh my gosh.
He doesn't remember. I have a picture of him that it comes back to his memory.
That's so fun. Hey, everybody. This is Bree Bagwell, and this is my podcast, Only Vans, where I talk to my friends in my van.
I love where we're at, though. We got 16 acres out there. So it had like a little barn dominium on it, but that's what we're living in. It's like 800 square feet.
Oh my gosh.
It's small. But
well, this one's small.
But it's freaking, like, our ceilings are high too, so yeah. It doesn't feel small.
Yeah. I think that what I've learned is the more space you have, the more stuff you have. Exactly.
Fuck yeah, dude.
So like, I don't have, how are we sounding? We sounding good?
Does
we
might sound
just
okay?
Kind of start rolling into it. I don't have a lot of stuff because I can't have a lot of stuff. And that's kind of beautiful.
And it makes you realize like what you really need is not everything. Because we've been living off of like 2 coffee cups because all our stuff. We ordered a shipping container when we first moved. When we first sold the house, because like if you rent a storage unit, it's like $500 a month to fit a house. Like, fuck it. We'll just buy a shipping container.
Yeah.
So that's what we did. So most of our stuff is still in boxes, except for what we grabbed when we moved, which was 2 coffee cups, like 2 Yeti cups. And now we're like, we've been living off of 2 coffee cups for 6 months.
Yeah.
We don't need this extra shit.
I know. It's really lovely. What's really weird is I come home every single weekend with armfuls of stuff. Like every festival you play, they give you a Yeti. Or it's like so nice, but my neighbors all have like 50 Yetis each because they love it. Because I'm like, I don't need... You know, the idea of them, too, is to reduce waste, and then we're just creating. It just kills me how much waste.
Stockpile the Yetis. Yeah. But they're the best, I think, the best cups to drink out of. Or anything that's, like, aluminum, you know.
But we don't need 1,000 Yetis. So, anyway, my if you're my neighbor, you're lucky enough to get...
get
all
neighbors.
My Yetis. Yeah. That's exciting. So, wait, you moved in February?
So we sold our house in December.
Oh,
it
gosh.
Sold in a week.
It
like so fast. It was like,
that's too fast.
Yeah. I'm like, we're not ready. Yeah. Can we lease? So we leased it back to the end of January. And then we moved up to Cistern. Her brother, we were going to stay at his house in a travel trailer. And he has some rental properties. And one of his tenants moved out. And he's like, well, y'all can live in the double wide. Because at the time, we sold our house. And then we're up for Christmas at his house, and I went to go look at some cows with him, and he does septic work, so he drove down this road and he goes, there's a couple properties for sale here. I'm like, all right, cool, let's check it out. I had my Zillow set at what we're like pre-approved for, so it was capped. There was not a whole lot to look at, and Seguin was just per acre there is crazy, like it's everywhere is crazy. So I'm like, fuck, man.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, I did work here, and I saw for sale sign, and I just saw like the barn. I thought it was just a barn. I didn't know it was a barn dominium, but the property was real nice. So I called the lady, and she told me what they were asking. I was like, oh, no wonder it's not showing up on my Zillow. It's a little bit, like, way out of our price range. And she did say that they were eager to sell. And, 2 weeks later, we put in an offer, and they took it.
No way.
Yeah.
That is so exciting. How far is that from here? You're closer to us, right?
Hour and 10 minutes?
Yeah, not bad at all.
It's awesome.
We've been threatening to hang out for a long time.
I know. I'm glad.
I was bummed we weren't here when you played Was that your first Green Hall show that you've ever? No, you've played there before.
So the first time I ever played Green, we opened up for Jason Boland, and it was a sold-out show.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was in 2018. That was wild. I was freaking out. Like,
yeah.
I did not. I was like, I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't need to be here right now. But it was one of those things. I reached out to the lady that was doing the booking at the time, like, hey, do you need an opener for Boland? We're off this weekend. And that's when I had Adam Oder on bass, Dave Percival, Josh Center, basically all the Yellow Dog Studio guys.
Yeah, what a band.
Back. Yeah. And then you had me. the guy doesn't know what the hell he's doing. But this was our first time. That was the first and only time I ever played Green. And then so we've done it like 4 times this year, like on a Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah.
And then we're getting back on the big stage for their Honky Tonk Thursdays in November with Chuck Briceño. We're opening up for Chuck.
So what?
Chuck's one of my best buds. So
I love Chuck. Chuck has bailed me out. Chuck took some of our guys to Steamboat 1 year. I mean, to the airport.
Yeah.
Like, I was on stage. I was like, we have to find a way for 2 of these guys to get to the airport tomorrow. Can you help us? Like, anybody in the audience? And Chuck.
Chuck's that guy.
He's the guy.
Got the biggest heart.
He's got the biggest heart. He's also so nice and he's also so good. So that wins that show because this will be out by then.
November 19th.
Okay. I'll put it on the calendar. That might be right in the middle.
It's a Thursday.
My big run.
Oh.
I'm going to try to see how Brie Bagwell tickets sell in New York City.
Dude.
We'll see. I know. Thanks. Awesome. Thanks. I mean, I don't really know, but we'll find out. Yeah, if you live in New York City and you're listening to this podcast.
Go to the show.
That buy is so now. Fun. Okay, so I'm doing a lot like less full band shows. I know you and I met when we were both like running hard. Mm-hmm. And are you being more picky nowadays, like with what you take and what you don't, especially being a new daddy?
You have to now when it's not just you, you know. I'm definitely picky and trying to be more picky and choosy, which is hurting the calendar a little bit. But I think the shows are better.
Totally.
You know, so that we're trying to get away from, you know, the 275-minute sets. You know, we'll still do them. I mean, I love just playing music, and especially if it's for like a newer audience, it's digging you, like you don't want to stop, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But now we're more focusing more on the 90-minute set, if it's our show, or the support. Like, we really wanted to hone in on just being a support act when it comes to our load-in, our set list, like upbeat, easy load-in. We're all self-contained, all our looms, our board, we just roll it in. And that's helped out a lot with the sound companies or the production guys are like, dude, you guys are awesome. You're on and off the stage in the perfect amount of time. You're not overstaying, which I've been guilty of doing that. It doesn't go over too well with the headliner sometimes.
We all have been guilty of that. We had someone open for us recently that like did not get off the stage fast. And I almost said something only because I feel like people said it to me.
Yeah.
And I kind of wanted to be like, hey, y'all were great, but like,
You gotta wrap it up, dude.
Because I remember somebody telling me that back in the day. And then, yeah, it helps so much. And I'm in that thing, too. It's like, oh, no, we didn't bring our own sound. We're all self-contained. We're on time. We're going to be pro. We're going to get out of your way. We're going to have a great, you know, that's the most fun, like a 45-minute power set.
Yeah. You're in and out, and you get to watch the headliner.
Yeah.
Well, I remember, so it's funny, we played a show together. We played a bunch of shows together.
Yes, we have.
But it was Isaac Jacob Band, Brie Bagwell, and Kevin Fowler in Kingsville, Texas. And that was before you and Paul started dating. And that's when Paul was playing for Fowler. And I remember we're hanging out backstage, and you're just looking up at Paul. And I have a picture of you somewhere. You're just staring at him. You're like,
I'm in love with you, my man.
You all right?
Yeah, I remember you telling me about that.
Chuck was actually running my merch that day. Chuck Briceño, yeah. That's how far we all go back. That was, what, 2017, I think?
Dang.
But yeah, he put a sign that said free tamales on my merch table. And we didn't have any tamales, but we got people to come to the merch.
Oh, my gosh.
He doesn't remember. I have a picture of him that it comes back to his memory.
But that's so fun. I have this recurring daydream that like I make tamales and I bring them to shows and like they kind of go viral and are seen in Randy Rogers calls and it's like, okay, I see we're playing together in 2 weeks. I need to order 2 dozen. Like that, yeah. I don't know where that comes from.
Let's go.
Like the wannabe Mexican in me wants to like be able to, but I made tamales one time and they were good, but that was like the hardest thing.
It's so freaking hard.
It's super hard.
Yeah, I know. I feel like once all our grandmas passed away, the tamales just kind of went away.
Yeah, and you can get them at HEB now.
Yeah, and they're good.
They are good.
I'm not mad at HEB.
Yeah, they did a great job. I know.
Everything HEB is the shit.
HEB, do you want to sponsor this podcast?
Please do it. What camera do I? What, yeah. Yes. Sign up.
The pride of Falfurrias. Well, they don't say that. How do they say it in Texas? Falfurrias?
You said it right.
Well.
Yeah. But
that's where you're from, though, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
Because I'm trying to think of where we even met. I think the Rebecca Creek stuff, we were doing a lot of stuff for them back in the day. And then you were at Steamboat.
Yeah, I did Steamboat a bunch of times. I was one of the mules for Rebecca Creek back in the day.
Trav bringing the whiskey up to the,
the mountain. And doing a bunch of their... I never actually been on the Steamboat Music Fest lineup, but we've played a bunch of the Rebecca Creek shows.
Yeah,
we've hung out a bunch in Steamboat.
Yeah.
It's been a couple of nights.
Those get blurry.
Yeah, very there. Very easy. The altitude.
And how our lives have changed, but we also got to go on the cruise together, the Texas Country Music Cruise.
Yes.
When was that? That was...
The first time I did it was... 2019, it was before COVID, like the because in the second one they didn't have it, I think.
Right.
Then I did the third and the I think three times.
Yeah,
I've been on it.
I was always amazed that you did those. Those were my favorite shows. We would get up in our pajamas and we would go watch you and Zach Nighthump play the morning.
Oh yeah, shows. Like at 9 a.m.
9 a.m. And like I would be there mimosas. Like in my PJs, mimosas, like one eyelash flying off, and you and Zach, and I was like, how are these guys singing that good at 9 a.m.? Like you were doing such a great job. Like those shows were so much fun.
I think we just kept, I don't even think we slept that first year. So I think we just kept the buzz rolling, which is not the best idea, but it helped. And after that show, I was like, I don't know if it's the mimosas or the ship moving, but I need to go let some of this stuff out of my system.
I need to go night-night.
Yeah.
You, well, the year that you brought Megan, and I remember Phil was my drummer back then, and he was like, you need to marry that girl. Do you remember that? We were all like, you need to marry that girl.
Yeah,
we
were right.
You were right. Well, yeah, you hang out with Phil Medina, and all of a sudden you got married, and now you're having babies.
Yeah.
Is he still playing drums with you?
No, unfortunately not. I love that guy to death.
I love that guy.
He's one of my best buds, and I still reach out to him a lot for some dad advice. And,
yeah. He's a good man.
But he's just one of the best human beings ever. Like, if I could just have him with me all the time, I would, you know, on the weekends, I would, more than anything, you know. Just, unfortunately.
He's got three babies now.
Yeah.
He got a little girl.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he was my drummer for a long time. And when he left, our last show was at Brewster Street in Corpus together. And we threw, like, a big party. And then I was like, we're going to celebrate, like, your last night. And then I just cried the whole show because I loved him so much. I was so sad. He's a good one, man. And he'll be our best friend forever.
Yeah, I love him so much.
Great drummer. So who you have playing in your band now?
So Leo Salas is on the drums.
Yeah.
You know Leo? He's played with a bunch of people.
Leo's great.
Yeah, he's solid. Al Herrera.
Al is great.
Al's on bass. Alex Stone, he's amazing. He's out of Sugar Land. And then Ian Reichman has been playing keys for us for the last year and a half.
Cool.
Yeah. And then we'll have Travis on steel whenever we can. And that's been basically the band for the last 2.5 years.
Dang, that's a great band.
They're solid, man. I'm like, I don't deserve you guys.
Whatever.
I feel so lucky. I'm serious. They make me sound so freaking great. Like the show, like Al and Alec, when it comes to putting a show together, their minds are amazing. And I try to stay out of the way, but every now and then I'll have like a good little nugget. Like, hey, what if we did this instead? They're like, oh, that's great. I'm like, oh, I got one. I got one in there. But yeah, I'm very fortunate to have had these guys as long. Because I mean, you know how it goes. You're in and out of guys. Like for me, that was always the hardest part, was like keeping people. I've had multiple guys go on to bigger and better things, or thinking that, or just stop playing all in general. Like, hey man, I'm done. So that was kind of like I've always been in that transition of hired guys per weekend. So the show was never consistent.
Right.
But for the last almost 3 years now, it's been the same group of guys, as far as like Alec and Al, you know, and me being that, like the core. And then Leo's been with us long enough to where now it's all like a symbiotic relationship. So it feels
amazing.
So good.
That feels so good. I feel you too, where you're trying to find people and then you're spending so much time just rehearsing and teaching people the songs and then you don't have transitions or whatever. And when it's all firing on all cylinders, like there's nothing.
Yeah. It shows, the proof is in the actual live show.
Yeah.
So I think our shows have been getting really good. Like it's always been a grassroots thing, but I feel like the grass is growing a little quicker now because of the help of the band.
Right. And I love that too, that they're helpful with how the show goes. Cause sometimes it's like,
I can't do everything. Yeah. Like, you have an idea or they're just like, that's dumb. Why are we going to change what we've been doing?
I had a guy that shut down ideas that I had. And my band is not like that. It's so fun to just be able to talk through a show and new transitions, and they want the show to be better. And there's nothing better. And I also like all my guys right now, which is very helpful. I feel bad we don't have as many full band shows as we used to. That's the only hard thing. But when we do, they're better shows, like you said. And it's like taking a lot of pressure off of me. I mean, I remember when we used to play, I used to guarantee my band 12 shows a month. That's insane. I mean, that we're Holy talking like smoke. 12, 13, you know, 2012, 13, 14, whatever. But like that was normal for us to play 12 to 15 full band shows a month. I don't know how I didn't die.
That's, I don't know. Yeah.
When did you start playing music then?
I started playing in bars and barbecue joints when I was 15.
Okay.
So 20 years ago.
Yeah. We've been out at the same amount of time. Yeah. Are we the same age?
I'm 35. So...
Oh, that's 15 plus 20. Got it. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Nope, we're not the same age. Got it.
I'm really good at math. Close enough. Once you get to like your past 30, man. I'm 30 something.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay. But I started playing like acoustic when I was still in high school, making like $50 here and there.
Yeah.
So it was cool. I was like, well, I can make money.
Yeah.
And then when I graduated, I started my first band. We were called Southern Scarred. I think we even played with you in Laredo or Corpus, something when we were Southern Scarred. And it was just a bunch of guys from Foul Furious and Premont. We started it, and we had an EP. It's out there. Had 6 songs on it. Some of them are all right.
Okay. I don't remember this. Yeah. That was back in the grind days.
I didn't know. I was wearing a bandana, had long hair. I thought I was Stoney LaRue.
Yeah.
Trying to find myself and just emulating all of my heroes, you know, like.
As we do.
Yeah. And just living it up and not taking it as serious as I should have. But I was also 17, 18. Not an excuse. Because I have friends that were like 17 and 18 that were locked in and they're doing great things right now. But. So are we. Yeah.
I wish I would have done things differently or like, but we were having a ball. It's so hard when you're like, I was playing with Stoney LaRue, my first full band shows. Like I was opening for Stoney like once or twice a month and it was so much fun. Like I wouldn't trade anything. And also it was hard. I mean, I think we did take it really seriously, but we also had a lot of fun.
Yes.
There's no way we would still be doing it if we didn't do
both. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a little bit more of the fun for me, I think. And just not knowing, like, I didn't know, hey, you got to get a radio promoter. Hey, you got to, you know, work with a publicist or you got to go record at this studio. Like, we were going to radio stations and like, hey, here's our CD. Can you play it? And there was like 105.9 in Alice, Brush Country. They played the crap out of you down there. And then the Buck in Laredo, they played same thing. So we're like, we took them. Our records, and they actually played it. So we had 2 radio stations playing our songs in South Texas when we were Southern Scarred. So that was fun. And I mean, I wouldn't trade. It was definitely a learning experience.
Yeah.
And then I ended up moving to New Braunfels, and everybody kind of started getting, they were a little bit older than me. They had their families. They started getting, you know, really good paying jobs. It was hard to be out. We're out every weekend. It's mm-hmm. two, you know, like. So that was getting kind of rough, and I didn't feel like I love the name. I love what we built, but it wasn't the same if they weren't on stage with me. Yeah. So, I had started working with another drummer, at the time, and he suggested just going by Isaac Jacob, go by your name. And that was in 2014 when up here. Yeah.
You moved to New Braunfels before the rest of us figured it out. Well, like you were ahead of the curve.
Yeah. I had always, I mean, growing up listening to Randy and Wade and mm-hmm. Stoney and Boland, and they all kind of congregated here.
Yeah.
And that's what I saw down in South Texas. I'm like, that's where I want to go. So yeah, I was fortunate to be here for as long as I was, and lived on River Road in a camper for a while.
Cool.
And then got a little house behind Koozie's for a little bit. So that was cool. It was a cool spot, man. I'm thankful for the memories, because back then I just drove by Billy's. I hadn't driven by it since the last time I drove by it was still there. So I like a tear for Billy's, man.
Yeah. That was a sad day.
River Road Ice House was open. We would have the songwriters nights on Tuesday where everyone would just sit around in a circle and pitch ideas. So I feel like this town is responsible for me honing and getting better at the craft of songwriting, because when you're surrounded by people that are great, like, you can only aspire to be, you don't want to stay down, you know, at that. You want to try to push to be at that level, if not get close to it. So right. It really helped me get better as a songwriter.
That's amazing. And I think that's what this community is still doing. And it's crazy to see it grow.
Like, yeah, it's nuts.
Whew.
Hey, this is Bree Bagwell. And if you want to listen to this podcast early and ad free, subscribe to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/BreeBagwell.
Howdy, y'all. It's Bree Bagwell, and I know y'all support the people who support me, so let me tell you about Deep Ellum Brewing Company. Born and raised in Deep Ellum, Texas, Deep Ellum Brewing Company has really made its mark on the beer world. Known for its flagships, Dallas Blonde and Deep Ellum IPA, they put boring beers to shame with a full lineup that's unapologetically not brewed to style. My personal favorite is the Dallas Blonde. It is so easy to drink. I just took it home for the holidays, and my whole family was, like, obsessed with this beer. No joke. They drank it all. Thanks a lot, family. So head over to deepellumbrewing.com to open the beer vault and give your fridge what it deserves. And you'll see why love runs deep for Deep Ellum Brewing Company. Available in Texas and Oklahoma, side effects may include severe happiness. Deep Ellum Brewing Company products are for individuals 21 and older, and we encourage drinking responsibly. Are you ready to take your merchandise to the next level? Well, just ask me who I use, and that is CH Lone Star Promo. They specialize in screen printing and direct-to-garment, embroidery, laser engraving, anything promo-related, they can do it. Step up your merch game now with CH Lone Star Promo and tell them Brie and Whiskey sent you. It's wild out here. Well, did you write most of the songs? I know I heard one that I recognized that was not written by you. Brandon Jenkins wrote.
Yeah.
I was like, I know this song.
Yeah.
But the rest of them, you wrote?
So there's 11 songs. I wrote 6 of them.
Oh.
Yeah.
I did my homework. Don't worry. The new record, Brush Country Tapes. It's so good. Look, here it is. Look at this. You got vinyls. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. I'm about to do like a vinyl project. The vinyl project thing is so hard. Like, there's like the measurements and the things and you have to have different masters.
And I still fucked up, dude. So check it out.
Let me see. So, we're pointing out the problem.
So on the back,
yeah,
that's the Brandon Jenkins song. The whole world's gone crazy, and here it is again.
Oh, it's on there twice.
But it's not printed on the vinyl twice, thank God.
Okay.
But yeah.
But you can look at it a million times and never see it.
That's why these are limited edition, because the next 100 ones that I order are not going to have it. But it was like, I was going back and forth with the guys because they were sending me the proofs of the front, and they kept putting Isaac Jacobs Band or Isaac Jacobs.
Right.
I'm like,
yeah,
it says Isaac Jacob on my email, guys.
Right.
So I was so focused on the front, and then they sent me the back, and I looked through all the credits and made sure everything was spelled right. I was like, the back is good, but my dumbass didn't see that they had it printed both on the back. So they were supposed to send me proofs.
Yeah.
And they ended up just sending all the packaging, like, already. I was like, well, I guess we're just going to run with it. So
run with it.
I think that's Jenkins making a poke at me.
Here he is.
Yeah.
He in the afterlife, he's like, hey, this is hilarious. That's a great song. I'm so glad you cut it. It's perfect for your voice. I have a vinyl. I have a misspelling on my vinyl. Remember, Kyle? It was Kyle's fault. No, it was probably my fault. I probably sent it to him, but there's a misspelling, but it's cute. It's like makes the first edition really special.
Yeah.
I think that's cool. Yeah, don't worry. Don't worry about that. So 11 songs you wrote.
Yeah.
Six of them. And you recorded it at Yellow Dog. We talk about them a lot on this podcast.
At their new to me, but the studio that they're at in San Marcos.
Right. Mm-hmm. I have yet to be there.
Oh.
Is it cool?
It's badass.
Dang.
Yeah, the vibe, like, it's the vibe. But it is a vibe. It's crazy. Like, their live room is insane. It's an old Baptist church, I think. So the ceilings are really high. Everything about it, you're like, wow, this is a beautiful place.
Wow.
You can feel, like, the energy, the creative energy there. And they're just constantly growing. They have a bunch of other rooms, They're doing like a Yellow Dog TV sessions. They're starting to really bring in some really cool ideas. And I think that's what we got to keep doing in this business, is trying to come up with something different, but the same, but different. Yeah, it was an awesome, awesome process.
Fun. And you were at Casey Johns was a big part of it, and Dave Percival was a big, who was?
Dave produced this record.
So that's kind of what I figured.
Yeah, I worked with Dave. So this is our third full-length record that Dave's worked on.
Right.
The first two we did at Yellow Dog. One was, both of them were in Wimberley, but at two different Wimberley studios. And yeah, the experiences have been amazing. This one was awesome. I love working with Dave. He's like a, he's like my musical father. Like anytime I have questions, he's always been really cool, and always receptive, and kind of always try to keep me going in the right direction.
We haven't talked about him enough on this podcast. I think he's come up a couple of times, but he's worked with everybody. Guest. Dave, come be on my podcast. He's worked with literally everybody. How did Green Day?
I mean, like it's just it's all over the board. Yeah, right. He's phenomenal. I saw that MRC was recording their record there back when I first moved here, Midnight River Choir, and I just sent him an email. Said, "Hey man, would love to work with you." And he responded back. He said, "What do you got?" And I sent him a song that I had just written called Angel Son, and it was just like an acoustic demo. And he was like, "Great, when can you come in and tour the studio?" You know, so that's kind of how our relationship started. Dang. Over email.
that's great. And he helps you. I mean, I know I talk about just different ways that producers do things. Like my producer, she'll help me, you know, she'll tear a song apart and help me put it back together, or tell me which parts need better writing or which parts I need to fix, or, you know, just the how involved is he in your songs? Like, is he super involved, or do you come to him with the songs pretty much like done?
Yeah, I'll come to him. Like, most of the songs are done. There will be some times where he'll change up an arrangement a little bit, or like one of the songs that I didn't write that I got sent by Carlos. He works for Azteca Records.
Yes.
Jerry De Leon and Morgan Lee Powers wrote this song called Drive, and he sent it to me, and it was very like, it's a beautiful song. Like, it was the way she recorded it. And it was very slow, like slow tempo. You could hear the melody, and her voice is really good. But we had a lot of slow songs already. So I was like, dude, can we kind of play with it a little bit and speed it up? So we went into the studio not having it done. We just had the song, but we didn't know what we were going to do with it. So he kind of helped. All right, do this instead of, like, when you come in on this one instead of this one. Or let's do like three hits here and like some diamonds. So he'll have some input.
Yeah.
But as far as writing, no, I would love to write with Dave. That's one thing we haven't done yet.
So. That's very cool. So is this released on Azteca?
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm friends with them too. I just love them to death. So they're just like good people.
No, we're in talks, and nothing but love for those guys.
Yeah.
But Carlos had sent me a few songs, and I love Jerry. Me and Jerry go back, and Morgan's an amazing songwriter. So
yeah.
I thought it was our last single that we released before the record came out. It was a digital release. So
that's very cool. Who played the accordion on the record?
One of Dave's buddies. Oh, man, I'm terrible.
Don't worry. Here, use your cheat sheet. Look under. It's not the one that's on there twice.
No, it's not. I need my readers. Hold on. Uka Allen. Oh, he's phenomenal.
It was really cool. When I heard it, I was like, this is really fun. And I wanted to, this is.
Uka, I think. Sorry.
I don't know. Listen, Kyle, edit this out.
No, keep it in, dude. Fucking bad.
No, this is awesome. And I see you have like some names on the back of this. So like.
Oh, yeah. So this album was crowdfunded.
Yeah. I was going to ask about that. And I recognize a lot of these people.
Oh, you see Matt's name on the bottom. Matt Trimble.
I know. Our buddy Matt. Oh, we love that man. He hired Isaac and I to go play a private show at his house with Sarah Hobbs and Jade Potek. It was me, Isaac, Sarah, and Jade. And it was like the most fun night. I laughed.
I know.
So hard. Like, he just had us all there to play on his back patio.
Yeah.
Him and Stacey.
He's amazing. They're both amazing.
They're incredible people. Okay, so that's awesome. I see a Mike Hurst on here. But that's kind of like, I'm really proud of you, because I've been a little, you know, it's a lot of work to crowdfund. People think it's like the easiest way to raise money, but it's actually.
And then
like
you're
really
fighting
hard
with your own, like, I don't want to be begging for money.
I know.
I hate that shit.
I know.
But you're not just taking their money. Like they, like a lot of these guys that donated upper, like they get a full band, or they've had their full band shows fulfilled already. But right. like, it's like, we're paying for your full band. So it's just like a deposit basically, but yeah. they're helping fund the record. So it's just money coming in early that helped really fund it. But it's not like we're just, hey, here's $50. You don't get into like the, I think the lowest thing was like, I think it was 35, but you get a vinyl.
Right. That's amazing.
And,
yeah. it was,
and they help, you know, contribute something. So they're getting something. We're not just like, hey, we'll take your money and not do anything, you know, thanks. Bye.
Bye. Yeah. yeah, I know. It's a lot of work to fulfill.
It was.
These
two.
Who printed these vinyls?
Hand drawn.
Yay. Everybody's at Hand Drawn. They, they're the best.
Yeah.
They really walk you through. There's one guy there who I keep telling him I'm ready to do some another vinyl project. And he's like, hey, are you ready yet? Are you ready yet? Are you ready yet? And I'm like, hold on. Yeah. I've been ready for 2 years, but I just, it's very expensive to print vinyls, but it's totally worth it. You make your money back like immediately, but it's just, it's expensive.
It was not cheap. Yeah.
And that's not saying anything against hand drawn. That's just like in general, and they're the best price
but
that you can get.
It's the best way to listen to music, I think.
Yep. And these look great. Who took this photo?
Larry Pena. Mustang Larry.
Mustang Larry? I know Larry.
Yeah, you know Larry.
That's fun. That's a great picture. Is this, whose truck is that?
So when I left San Antonio, I moved back down to South Texas for about 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. I was working for this man named Richard Simmons Small during the week, and he had
Richard Simmons?
Simmons Small.
Oh.
No, I don't even...
Can you picture far, Isaac?
Completely opposite of that guy.
Doing some yeah. aerobics.
You can do... I'm starting to feel skinny. No, it wasn't that guy. It was this older man that... He was actually my dad's biology teacher back in the day, and he had some hip surgery, and he was having, he needed someone to help him on his ranch. And, it was just a small cattle operation. He bred beef masters and black Angus, but he was very meticulous on, he had his pastures. He had like 700 acres and he had particular pastures for different breeds, and they would get a certain amount of feed. And it was very much like, it's not just go throw them a hay. Right. You know, it was like, hey, I need
science.
Yeah, very much so. So that was his old Ford truck that I used to drive around when I was working on the ranch. And the picture on the back is in his cattle pens that were built back in the early 1900s. My grandfather, my mom's dad, actually built one of his water troughs when my grandpa was 12 years old. And he used to stay out at that barn that I would work out of, which was crazy. Yeah. He's like, you know, your grandpa worked here. Hmm? Yeah, see, talk. He was cool, man. I love Richard. Like, if I could get a camera and just hang out with him all day, like, it would be a hit. Because yeah. it's just all this knowledge from the tractors that we were using. The John Deere we had was built in 1942. Like, wow. His dad bought it brand new during World War II. And it's still running to this day. And he just keeps everything. Nothing's new. It's all old school, but he's taking care of it. Like, I learned so much from him. Just in the little things that you're like, as a kid, you'd probably get annoyed. Like, what are you doing this for? But as an adult, you're getting older. You're like, well, this makes sense. This is why his things have lasted as long as they've lasted, because he's putting the time that it takes to keep them running.
To take care of it.
So I learned a lot from him when I was living down there. And I loved every bit of it. So that's kind of why we named it the Brush Country Tapes. Because
right.
it was a lot of the songs I wrote or were working on with other people, you know, still living down in South Texas.
That is so cool. Do you come from a ranching family? Do I know that, or farm and ranching family? I think I knew this, but tell me more.
Yeah, so my grandfather on my mom's side, they farmed watermelon and squash.
Right.
They had like 300 and some acres.
I remember talking about this now.
And before that, it was a dairy farm at one point in time in Falfurrias in the 1950s. There was more dairy cows in that town than anywhere else in the world. Yeah, it's crazy. I went to like a little speech about orange trees, trying to bring orange groves back to the area because there's no more oranges. It's California, Florida, South Texas, not even anymore because it's growing so much. And so they were just giving a brief history on the town. I was like, that's pretty insane. But, I mean, it was a huge dairy town. That's what it was. It was dairy cows, dairy farms, and then the big corporations came out. And there's still Falfurrias butter, which you can find in your local HB.
Right.
But it's not made there anymore. They kept the name. So they went from a dairy farm to watermelons. And then behind our house, my uncle had a cattle operation. So he was constantly buying and selling cows. And it was just something, every day there was something to do. And you know, if you're just living out on the ranch. So I would work with him as much as I could, as early as I could, to like, my mom was like, all right, you're okay.
Yeah.
You can go. I was like 10 or 12.
Dang. And you're quite the outdoorsman. You can hunt and fish and do all the things.
I try.
Well, your wife's better at it than
she's
you are.
She's way better at it.
She's good at everything.
Yeah, she's the best. It's hard to keep up.
It's hard to keep up. And I love how y'all love West Texas, because Paul and I, we have a week off next week together. Mm-hmm. And we're going to like Marfa and Big Bend and Marathon. And like that's our favorite place.
Yeah.
It's getting popular though now.
I know. I kind of hate that.
I do too. Like last time.
I love it, but I hate it.
Last time I went to Terlingua, I was like, oh, there must be something happening here, because like the porch was like slammed.
Yeah.
And
there's a wait to get in.
Yeah. And they were like, oh, no, it's just like this now. It's like, what?
Well, we have, so there's Terlingua Time. Yes. Is a song on there.
Yes,
and then
I love that one.
West Texas Sky is a song I wrote about like our honeymoon. Like we were out there by ourselves in the middle of Big Bend. Like we rented a house for 2 days in Terlingua, a really nice bougie house. And then we're like, all right, the next 3 days we're going to camp in Big Bend. And so it was just us out there in the middle of nowhere. It felt like we were the only ones out there. So
that's the best.
Yeah.
And that's totally you guys.
Yeah. It's perfect. It was the best. We were just talking about that the other day. Like, man, we can't wait to go back.
Yeah.
But not in the summertime.
Not in the summer. Well, we're the idiots that are going in the summertime. But, it's 10 degrees cooler.
At least at night. It's nice.
Yeah, exactly. I like the one. It's a waltz. I think it's a. Oh, I Roam.
Yeah,
I love that song.
I got the idea for that on the cruise.
Oh, because it does have like a boat in it. Yeah.
So, well, there was one night where the boat was moving really bad. I don't know if you remember, but I was in the room. I was like, what the fuck, like, dude? I don't know if I'm sick. I don't know. But I went out to the balcony to get some air, and then I started seeing, you know. It's pretty calm for the most part, and then when it's not, you're like, that's when you're like, whoa, we're out in the, you know,
scary.
In the water. It can be bad. But then I was like, man, we're spoiled. We're on a floating mall, basically, like a floating food court. What was it like when guys were crossing the ocean in a wooden ship and leaving the person that they love?
Totally.
Like, there had to be somebody that they left behind or something. So I was like, well, so that kind of came, that's where the first verse came from, and then... Like being out, like on horseback, being away from home, same thing, and then being out on the road. It's just
right.
If you love somebody,
that's why I liked it so much.
Oh, thanks, I appreciate
it. Yeah, you're welcome. No, that's awesome. The whole thing has a very like '90s country vibe. Like I think it's like you can tell all of your influences kind of came through. I feel like it's very classic sounding. Like it's just a really good. Sounding record. The writing's great, the production is great. There's some like accordion, there's like a little bit of Mexican influence and I don't know if you were going for that or it was intentional or if it
that
just
was
came
Dave.
Out that way.
That was a Dave thing, yeah. So cool. That's him, like, you know, his producer mind. But I kind of fought that in the beginning, like when I first started playing music, like everyone was, oh, you need an accordion. And like, just because I'm Hispanic doesn't mean I need to put a fucking accordion on every song.
Totally.
But now I've getting older and maturing and letting my kind of getting rid of that ego that I had as a younger guy, I embrace it more. And if it fits the song, which I think with Terlingua Time and Feelings I'm Feeling, they're both songs that are closer to the border.
Right.
That have that influence. But I don't think you need to throw an accordion on every.
No. And you don't like, no, not if it doesn't fit. And that's so interesting because we were talking to, when we talked to Rick Trevino about it, you know, they wanted him to put out the Spanish record before the English record, and he didn't want to do that. You know, it's like, it's so interesting because then I'm over here like white girl, like trying, I'm like, let me sing in Spanish. And everyone's like, you like, why or how? Because I was kind of putting Spanish into the lyrics and stuff. And my producer's like, why do you want to do this so bad? I'm like, it's because of my heritage. So it's really interesting to hear you say that, because when people are forcing that upon you, that's a whole different conversation.
Yeah. And it, like I said, I was younger.
Yeah.
I didn't really understand. Like, I was just kind of stubborn in that way. Like, I don't want to do that. That's not what I'm trying to be. I don't want to pigeonhole myself at that. But like I said, it's something I embrace more now than ever.
Yeah.
And thanks for that shout out when you talked to Rick. I appreciate that.
I was like,
that was pretty fucking cool, dude.
Well, that In My Dreams, the song he wrote with Raul, it's an incredible song. And then we go on to talk about how hard he talks about how hard that song is to sing. And I was like, yeah, no one can sing that song. I was like, except for Isaac Jacob. And he goes, I've heard it. He's great. Like, he like, and I'm like, Isaac's going to die when we tell him.
Yeah, it was
Rick,
cool.
Rick talked about
it. It is hard to sing.
Yeah. well, you do such a great job. Your falsetto is so incredible. Not that that's like, it's just the way that you look. Yeah. You're like a big dude. You got tattoos, and then you can sing in this incredible high falsetto.
I get that sometimes from like other guys who are like, you don't look like you should sound like that. Or you don't sound like you look like that. I'm like, yeah. Thanks. I guess.
It's such a tool because you have such a powerful voice, but then you can also do that. You know, that's a really incredible tool. Have you always just been able to do that, or did you find out? I guess what I'm trying to say is I picture you like learning Dan Seals when you were younger.
That's what it was.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what is this?
Yeah.
And then you could just do it.
Yeah. That was really the song that kind of, I practiced it a lot before I played it in front of people, but yeah. I was like, I can do this. Well, I would hear like Stoney cover it or someone cover it and they wouldn't hit the falsetto.
Right.
I'm like, oh, how hard can it be? And then I tried it. No, that's fucking hard.
It's hard.
When you first start. And then it's like a muscle. It's like the more you work it out. And one of the songs that I do that, which I'm thankful for, is New Kind of Lonely. Which Bernie Nelson wrote with a couple other guys out of Nashville.
Okay, I didn't know that. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But you hit even a higher falsetto at the end. Uh-huh. And yeah, buckle up, Buttercup, when you listen to that song. Because I remember when I was going to play with that show at Matt's house with you, I was like, I wonder if he's gonna do that live. And you do.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so wait, so I interrupted you, but you were talking about they wrote it.
Yeah,
is the falsetto in that?
Yeah, it's in the copy of the demo that I got.
Yeah,
but a couple of people have recorded it. But yeah, I got to meet Bernie about a year ago. I filled in for him at the Do-Si-Do, the whiskey barn. He lost his voice, and my radio promoter's like, hey, Bernie can't sing. He can't even talk. Do you know anybody in the Houston area? I was like, well, I live 4 hours away. I can do it.
That's the Houston area.
Yeah. I said, you don't have to find somebody. I could do it if I leave right now. It was noon on a Saturday.
Dang.
So then I text Matt and a bunch of other buddies that I had in the area. And it was like 30 some people, which the general manager said, that's great. I mean, it was...
Yep, super happy with that.
Nobody that bought tickets for Bernie gave them back either, so they showed up. So I made some new fans. So
that's incredible.
And then that's like a week later, he sent that song to my promoter at the time, and then he sent it to me. And Megan was sitting with me in the truck. We're going to feed horses, and I was like, let me listen to this song. And it was a demo, and she heard it, and I heard it, and I was like, that's an amazing song. It's stuck
song.
In my head.
Yeah.
If it gets stuck in your head, it's got to get stuck in other people's heads. So, yeah, I'm thankful for Bernie's friendship. I'm actually riding with him in Kyle Park in a couple of days. Yeah.
No way. Yeah. Oh, Kyle. Are you going to Fredericksburg? They come. Uh-huh.
I'm going to Bernie's house.
Dang. Yeah. Tell him I want to do that.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, well, before you run out of time, who's promoting your single right now?
Dylan Steen.
Cool. And he's a great dude.
Yeah, we did a Ball and Chain.
With Courtney Penn.
Yeah.
That was on my list to talk about.
Yep.
It sounds great. That's the perfect person to sing that song.
Thanks.
With you. It's real honky tonk.
I thought so too.
A great song.
I wrote that with Wild Bill and Kelly Kenning's younger brother, Gavin Kenning.
I just saw that. I don't know Gavin.
Oh, no?
No.
He just started writing recently. He plays too.
What?
Yeah, he's really good.
I'm a giant Kelly Kenning fan.
Me too.
He loves you.
Yeah, I love that guy.
Okay, well, I didn't know that he was writing. That's exciting. So it's a duet with Courtney Patton. It sounds great. It's I love it. It's Ball and Chain's feels light as a feather.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so sweet. That's your real life.
Yeah.
You're about to be a daddy again.
Again. Yes, ma'am.
Another boy?
Another boy. Wyatt. Is what we're going to go with.
Do I know that before anyone else? You better tell Instagram before.
This is first.
Exclusive?
This is exclusive.
Only Vans release?
Yeah, Only Vans exclusive.
Well, if I missed anything that we need to tell everyone else about, let me know. Or just isaisacjacob.com. What's
Isaac Jacob? Yeah, isaacjacobband.com.
Great. And you can order the vinyl on there?
Not yet. I'm working on that. So okay. I redid my whole website recently. I had Eric Linnington on my last one, and then software he was using was getting out of date. So he's like, man, just get yourself a Wix. I can walk you through it. He walked me through. It took me about 8 hours, but I did it. And so isaacjacobband.com has all our tour dates. It has some merch on there. I'm working on getting this set up to be able to like actually order and then have it sent out. If not, just reach out to me on Facebook or anywhere to get a hold of me.
Or go to a live show.
Yeah.
Better
we're
yet.
We're going to have them at our live shows. So
Come to the Green Hall Show November 19th.
19th.
I got that right.
You got it.
No, November 19th. That's so awesome. Thank you for being here, my friend. This is such a good record. You should be so proud. Plus, a full-length record is like a giant feat. Like, I know how much work that is.
Yeah.
And, well, this one has 12 songs on it, if you look on the back.
Oh, yeah. But there's only 11 on the
actual. There's only 11 on the actual record. Congrats on a great project. I remember listening to it when it came out and I was driving and I never got to tell you how good it is. But now I'm getting to tell you.
Thank you.
You should
very much.
Be so proud. Isaac Jacob, everybody. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
Sorry about my coffee breath.
With a death wish on my mind, counting down exits and my own marker signs. Push the pedal down, cause it's only a matter of time. Cause an angel like far away.